few special things about this week. One is this week is actually called Shabbat Parashat Parah. And what it's talking about, it's talking about the red heifer. So the first Shabbat following Purim, which technically, okay, we celebrated Purim last week, right? But it fell on a Thursday or Friday, so they wait till the following Saturday. But essentially, the first Saturday following Purim, they have a special reading about the ceremony of the red heifer. And the reason why they're talking about that is the red heifer is discussing a way that God has to purify a person who has been contaminated by a dead body so that they can come back into the temple and worship God. And in Numbers chapter 19, they go through all the details of the red heifer ceremony, and you take a completely red bull outside of the temple, outside of the gates, and they kill it, and they burn it entirely, so it's an entire burnt offering, and then they take the ashes, they mix it with water, and that ash and water is water of purification, that when sprinkled on a contaminated person, that person becomes clean, but the one who did the sprinkling is now unclean. And the sages all look at it through time and said, well, this is inexplicable. It's something that we can't possibly understand, but it's a divine kiss from God that He's given us this. And any inability of our own to understand one of God's commandments is not a lack of what He has given or what His knowledge is. It's a lack of our own ability to understand the infinite. Amen. And so the validity of God's commandment is not based on our understanding of it, but based on our obedience to recognizing that He is high above. And we come into alignment with it and follow it and do according to His word, trusting that He's going to take care of what He's promised to do. And so the reason why they chose this week to read this portion, which will be again read later in the summer when we get into Numbers, but they said we want to reinforce this at this time because within the next few weeks, everyone is going to be making a pilgrimage trip to Jerusalem, and everyone needs to purify themselves before they come into the season of Passover. And so here we are, we're going through trials and tribulation, and we're coming before the Lord and asking Him to come and cleanse us entirely. So we're aligning here with, Lord, purify us, prepare us for your Passover that we're about to come together and celebrate. And so with that, you know, amen. Lord, come and purify us. Lord, as only you can do. And we know with the picture of the red heifer, we know that Yeshua died outside the gates. It's even some believe that where he died was right next to the place where they killed the red heifer, where you could look in and see the gates of the temple. So that when the doors of the temple were opened, the sacrifice would be seen. And so when the veil was torn, Yeshua was seen from the Holy of Holies. Okay? And so, now I don't know, is that right? I'm not sure, but I like it. Okay? And so we know that it is the sprinkling of the blood of Yeshua and His waters of purification that purifies our flesh and our conscience that we can approach God. So this week is when we remember the purification that was inexplicable by any way other than the mystery revealed by God through Yeshua. Amen. This did not print the way I was going to have it print, but all right. This week's parasha covered the time when Moses and the people did everything that God had commanded them to do with the preparation of all the vestments for the priesthood and with the building and setting up of the tabernacle and inaugurating it. And it culminates with the presence of the Lord coming and filling the tabernacle. And the last five I think it's the last five weekly portions have covered these different aspects of how God said to build the tabernacle and how he said to prepare his priest to serve him. It's a huge, I mean, obviously it's a very significant thing that God was laying out here, that so much of the Torah would be devoted to this. And God wanted the place in which he was going to dwell to be perfect, and his priesthood to be perfect and set apart. And when that was ready, his presence came. Okay? And one of the things, so that's what we've been talking about the past few weeks, is the priesthood, the dwelling place of the Lord. Sorry, I don't have my notes on this, guys, so I'm going to just kind of jump through it a little bit. In Exodus 39 and 40, when the Torah is going through and listing everything that they were doing, there's certain phrases that keep getting repeated. And so in Exodus 39, verse 1, the verse ends with, "as the Lord had commanded Moses." And what it was saying there is, this is going to go through, I'm not going to read this all, okay? But the Torah is listing out what they did, all the steps they take with the preparation of the vestments and the preparation of the temple. And it listed one, it said, "as the Lord had commanded Moses." It listed another, and in verse 5 it says, "as the Lord had commanded Moses." It lists another, and in verse 7, "as the Lord had commanded Moses." It repeats this 7 times in chapter 39. They did this as the Lord commanded. They did this as the Lord commanded. And then that's all in regard to the preparation of the vestments. And actually there were a total of 9 times that it said that. And then in chapter 40 it starts talking about setting up the tabernacle. And it repeats the same pattern where Moses did something. And it says Moses did it in chapter 40 verse 16. "Moses did according to everything that the Lord commanded him, so he did." And again, same repetition in verse 19, in verse 21, in verse 23, in verse 25. Over and over again, no word in the Torah is wasted. Right? There is a reason that this is being pointed out, and it's because they were diligent to be obedient to everything that the Lord commanded them. They didn't look at it and say, "well, what's the spirit of what he's saying? Let me do that." Now, the spirit of what he was saying matters, but the obedience to the word of the Lord mattered too. And they recognized the importance of the connection of the spiritual and the physical. And often we take a look at what Paul wrote in Romans, and it says, well, the letter brings death, but the spirit gives life. Well, here we see that actually, maybe there's something beyond maybe what Paul was saying we don't really fully understand, because in this case, doing according to the letter mattered. And in chapter 39, verse 43, it says, Moses saw the entire work, and behold, they had done it as the Lord had commanded. So they had done, and Moses blessed them. There was a blessing in their obedience unto God. Right? So I don't have all the answers on that. But it's something that begs, you know, makes us ask the question of, well, what then did Paul mean? And we may circle back to that in just a minute. But there was another piece that I wanted to hit on. So God's plan is to come and dwell with man. And in our Haftarah portion this week, Ezekiel 36, it's some pretty powerful things. Ezekiel 36. The Lord is talking about how Israel was going to become desolate and without inhabitant because of the sins of the nation, and that God was going to scatter them throughout all the earth, and that would be a profaning of God's name. Because how could that happen to his people? You know, if he was God, how could that happen? And so he was going to act on behalf of his own name to bring them back and to reestablish and to make Israel inhabited in a place of beauty. And here in recent history, Israel was desolate. It was without inhabitant. And then God brought the Jews back and began to restore the land. And then he gave them their nation. And now it's inhabited and it is thriving. Praise God. But here in Ezekiel 36, starting in verse 23, "And I will sanctify my great name that was desecrated among the nations, that you desecrated among them. Then the nations shall know that I am the Lord, the words of the Lord, of my Lord God, when I become sanctified through you in their sight. And I shall take you from the nations and gather you in from all the countries, and I shall bring you to your land. And I shall sprinkle pure water upon you, that you may be cleansed. From all your contamination and from all your filth I will cleanse you, and I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit shall I put within you. I shall remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh, and my spirit shall I put within you, and I shall cause you to go by my decrees and guard my laws and perform them. And you shall dwell in the land that I gave your fathers, and you shall be to me a people, and I shall be your God. And I shall save you from all your contaminations, and I shall summon the grain and increase it, and I shall not place famine upon you." This is beautiful when connection with this whole picture of purification. He will sprinkle pure water upon us and cleanse us from all of our contamination. And when we think about the immersion that we have in Yeshua, right, and the cleansing that he brings, where we are identified with him in his death, and we are raised in the Spirit to walk with him in newness, it is a beautiful thing. There's some commentary that the sages make on this passage that I think is really interesting in how it parallels with the new life we have in Yeshua that Paul talked about. And what they were talking about is, I don't exactly know how they brought all this into this, but I felt like it was really a neat topic. They talked about freedom of will in moral matters being a primary condition for living one's life on the plane that God demands of us. Okay, our ability to choose his ways over the lust of our flesh is key in becoming who he's called us to be. And then they talk about, well, you know, there are physical limitations that prevent us from being totally free. And one is that death reigns over every man. Because no matter how you choose to live, you are still going to die. Right? And that is going to essentially trump every effort that you make in your own freedom of will to choose. It's kind of a deep and complicated thing, so I may not have explained it very well. But essentially, even though God has given us his word, he's shown us the way of life through his Torah, we are still bound by the law of sin and death. And so in order to reach the fullness of what God has called us to be, we must be set free from the law of sin and death. And we know that the way that we were set free by the law of sin and death was through the death of Yeshua. And how? By identifying with him in his death through immersion and identifying with him through the resurrection, being raised up out of the water, we now are made new creatures who have been set free from the law of sin and death, given the promise of eternal life through Yeshua. And in this we are no longer shackled by the lusts of our flesh or by the law of sin and death. We are now free to live by the law of liberty, of life by the Spirit in Yeshua. Right? Not a different Torah. Not free from the Torah, but free from the law of sin and death, that we may live by the Torah through the living Torah. Amen. And so some of the commentary on the that the sages have put on this. I'm going to read this. It says, because the sinner is shackled by his desires, he loses spiritual control of his actions. He is swept along by the physical lusts that have overpowered his spiritual self. Thus, the most meaningful part of his life, the spiritual, has been killed. For this reason, when God forgives man's sin and grants him a new heart and a new spirit, he is imbuing him with purity, the state of mind in which man is the sole master of his actions. A living, and therefore a pure person, uses his body as he wills. It is his tool to use as he sees fit. The regenerate sinner, upon returning to the state of purity, joins once more the state of the living and the free. Now that's Jewish commentary on these passages. Now I heard Paul over and over in that, because what they're talking about here is that this is the life God gives to the repentant sinner, right? And how much more if he gave it to the repentant sinner does he give it through us who have been cleansed by the blood of Yeshua, amen, who is the perfect atonement. And so to me that's exciting. Amen. To hear just the beautiful pictures of the purification that comes and prepares the way for the coming of the presence of the Lord. And I'd have to read that verse. I mean, how can you have Exodus 40 and not read this? Exodus 40 closes out. In starting in verse 33, it says, Moses erected the courtyard all around the tabernacle and the altar, and he emplaced the curtain of the gate of the courtyard. So Moses completed the work. Think about Yeshua completing the work at the end of the thousand-year reign. Right? As he's completed the resting place for God. And the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses could not enter the tent of meeting, for the cloud rested upon it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. When the cloud was raised up from upon the tabernacle, the children of Israel would embark on all their journeys. If the cloud did not rise up, they would not embark until the day it rose up. For the cloud of the Lord would be on the tabernacle by day, and fire would be on it at night, before the eyes of all the house of Israel throughout their journeys. And Lord, just as you led the Israelites and they could see your presence, they could feel your presence was near, Lord. We ask for that in our midst, in our families as we walk, Lord, that you would come and that you would cleanse us with your waters, Lord. That you would wash over us, make us new, Lord. We thank you that it's living water that purifies us. And we thank you that fountains of living water spring forth through us by your life that you've given us through Yeshua. Lord, we ask that you'd guide us and direct us on the way, that you would be that cloud by day and fire by night. Lord, that we would not lose hope, we would not despair. We would keep our eyes focused on you and we would go in the way that you call us, Lord. We bless you and we praise you for your glory and your great name, that your name may be sanctified, Lord, among all the nations. And in our lives, Lord, we bless you. In the name of Yeshua. Amen.